Blog Talk Radio.
To come before you at this 8 o'clock hour, which is our prime time. We're so glad to be blessed and have this opportunity to kind of share some things with you. Talking Real to You is just, we're going to focus on just plain old life issues. We want to make sure we share with you what's exactly going on. As we know, coronavirus, COVID-19 is here, and we're dealing with it. We're just in situations that we're definitely, you know, this is truly something we have never experienced, and we pray that if we ever can get to normalcy, we won't experience it again, at least until another 100 years, when there be another pandemic. However, I want to take this opportunity and give a shout out and give a scream and a holler, however you want to say, and say keep on grinding, words of encouragement to our first responders. Give a shout out to our respiratory therapist. I want to give a shout out to all the doctors, all the nurses, all the health officials, health staff, mental health, behavior health counselors, more or less we'll say experts that are working with our young people. We want to give a shout out to our fire department, law enforcement. We want to make a shout out to all those individuals and say, hoorah, thank you for the job that you're doing. We have to continue to fight that battle. We got to keep on grinding. And last but not least, we want to give a shout out to our teachers. You know, this is a time of revolutionization. I'm going to get it out. Education has been revolutionized. And we want to make sure you understand this is a new age where everybody is basically trying to do the same thing, which is making sure we get our message out to our young people, make sure our young people are educated, make sure our young people have an opportunity to continue, because school was halted in most places, all over the places over the country. We had stay-at-home orders put in by governors throughout this country. We had curfews set up in some places, 10 to 6. 9 to 5, set up in the morning, all night. So we have a lot of things going on, and we're just dealing with this, but we got to keep on praying. I always tell everybody before we get our show started, make sure you check on your relatives. If you have someone, regardless whether they are a child, a baby, or an adult of wisdom, check on them. Make sure they're okay. Check on everybody. And then when you check on, tell them you love them. Just tell them you love them. That's one of the things that just goes along with my show, is that I'm going to tell you at the end that I love you, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. So we ask you to do the same thing. Tell your family members that you love them. And, you know, we're all being isolated, quarantined. We have some situation where individuals are being affected directly. However, just tell them you love them. it goes a long way. And tell them I'm praying for you, and I'm praying, I ask you to pray for me. And that's what it's all about, because I'm praying for you, and I'm asking you to pray for me, because we are in challenging times. So we wanted to make sure we get that out, because we're dealing with the coronavirus, and that's what we want to make sure. I want to make sure we take an opportunity to introduce my co-host. Before I do that, I want to make sure I give the housekeeping things that we must do. You know, if the school system and the educator, you had to do housekeeping. You had to make sure that first 10 minutes of that class, you make sure you get everything in order, check and see who's there, get all your directions, check all your assignments, or whatever you do. I'm talking as an educator, so I retired in that. At the end of the class, you're doing the same thing. You're closing it out and making sure everybody do everything else. So we're going to do the same thing. Now, if you want to be a part of this show, the call-in number for our show is 347-857-4192. And if you want to check the show out on the web link, and that's www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. If you want to email the show, you can email us at talkingreal2you@gmail.com. If you want to tweet the show, that's @talkingreal2you, the number two again, numerical number, @LorenzaDSmith15, @coachwithak, KOACH_L_Smith. You can be a part of the show. Let me take this opportunity. I want to make sure I introduce that team of individuals that work with me. Again, it's volunteer. Now, one of the questions you might ask, why should I check out your show, Dr. Smith? One of the things I ask you to do, and it's more of our team show, it's just not my show. I'm the host, and I do almost all the producing. So the point is, it's just not my show. It's our show. So my team is so important because they volunteer their time to do this. Take an hour of their schedule or longer than that sometimes just to be a part of this show. I start off with those individuals who hadn't called in yet, and when they call in, I'll make sure I'll let you know they're on the line. Hales from the state of Georgia. Our Dr. O. That's Dr. Olivia E. Smith. She joined us as a co-host, and hopefully she will join us for tonight is over. We have the millennium, one of the millennials that make up the show, also makes up the duo, the father and daughter, the only father and daughter Blog Talk Radio show in the country. We want to make sure we give her the shout out. I know she's been kind of up and down, just trying to, you know, get ahead of the ball game, trying to keep herself up. While they're off work right now, all educators are pretty much at the home, all except a lot of administrators. That's our millennium. One of our millennials, Lauren D. Smith, my daughter that makes up the duo and the father and daughter Blog Talk Radio show. Next, we have another millennium, a young man, and he hails from the state of Alabama. That's Mr. Cameron Gilmer. And last but not least, this young lady, I get excited every time I look down and see her number on the line. And I have to not do her any different from those other individuals I just gave that introduction, but I have to do a little bit. I have to take a little bit, because when she's on the line, I want to make sure you all know she's here. She hails from the state of South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina, retired administrator, retired counselor, and a lifetime educator. Regardless, you're retired, you're always going to educate our young people and people in general. She's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority, Incorporated, none other than my friend, my sister, my family member, Miss Scarlett H. Black. How you doing, Scarlett?
In here tonight. You know, we had tornadoes coming our way last night. I think they might have come through your area too, down that way, but picking up tree limbs and leaves all day today. But we're so happy to join you tonight, and so happy that our listening audience is with us again tonight also. This is going to be really good.
Okay. Yes, ma'am. Awesome. Awesome. I tell you, I appreciate it. And we did kind of hit at a time frame down here in South in Alabama. It kind of came through from out of Mississippi and headed up through Tennessee, but it did touch down in Alabama as well. And that time frame was about 5 to 2 a.m. And I think it was moving your way up that East Coast.
It was moving our way, yeah.
Yeah, our prayers is for each and every one of those individuals. Make sure you follow your weather alert, the warning they give you, and the procedure that you should do at your home. If you're in a mobile home, please remove yourself from the mobile home if you can. Make sure you make plans to remove yourself from that. In essence, it may be built to stand a little wind, but it's not built to deal with some winds up to almost 100 to almost 200 miles per hour, and it's not a good place to be. Find your safe place somewhere, and we just ask you to do that because God is going to be in the midst, but you have to make sure you follow what is directed to you. God, and I'm so glad to have you again. The topic tonight is the United States in crisis. And we're going to focus on a lot of things dealing with the coronavirus. We're going to focus on the judicial spotlights and things in the judicial system because this COVID-19 has created a whole different attitude about how we do things. We're going to look at how this is going to affect us once, if we ever have some normalcy. How will we react to each other after that, after being quarantined, after being more or less ISO. Matter of fact, Scott, and let me say this, I have a star writer on Facebook just wanted me to tell you hello, and that's Sarah Marquita Turner, but we call her Phoenix Q. Brown, the author. She wants you out of Detroit, Michigan. She wants you to say hello. She wanted me to tell you hello.
Hello, Sarah. Glad to have you with us tonight. Yeah. And our Sarah, my Sarah, and your sister, and also the other members of the Divine Nine, you know, they follow us and they come on the line. So we're all in this thing collectively together. But I'm so happy that Grace is in the house. And Sigma is too, but we also have Delta, the AKAs, Sigma Gamma Rho, Omega, Alpha. Who am I missing?
Iota.
Kappa. And the Kappa. Yeah, I better not leave them out.
Yeah. I don't think you need to leave them out. Too close.
Don't leave them out. Yeah. They're very good to Zeta.
Yes, that's awesome. But she typing in, I try when the individual type in, I just make sure I try to run things off as I talk through. We also have another songwriter out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. She didn't type anything, but she's always joining us, Dana Bowser.
She really does.
Yeah,
uh-huh.
She's joining us all the time, and she's doing that Zuma. Mamacita! She has Zuma Mamacita. So she's doing that out of, and I see her hitting the hearts right now. Thank you so much, Dana, because, you know, I told you I was going to give you a shout out to make you. All right, let's look at what we have going on. We're going to just talk plain old life issues. We're talking about taking it block by block. And we want you to share your thoughts. The call in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I identify the last four digits of your cell or telephone number, then ask you to offer your name, a location if you choose to, at least get your location because we can keep how we're touching individuals throughout the country, as well as your comments, your questions, and your expertise. Let's kind of look at this judicial situation as the United States in crisis. We've been in crisis a while with judicial, but we're going to look at how coronavirus, COVID-19 is affecting our judicial system. Now, one of the things that I kind of was kind of a little concerned, and as we know, the population in our Department of Corrections throughout the country for African Americans is over about 80%, but we're only 14% of the population. There's a disparity there. We want to talk about something that may lead to that disparity, and that's more or less should an individual, and what's happening with a lot of our African Americans, because we don't have the money to pay the court system, should you plead guilty or adjudicate or go to trial your case? And we want to kind of talk about that, Scarlett. If you want to share some thoughts on that we got a lot of situations that leads to that number being 80% or more of the correctional Department of African American, but we're only 14% of the population. You have any thoughts on that, Scarlett?
Well, yes. In fact, I used to serve on a committee here in Greenville. It was called Save Our Sons. And basically, that's what we looked into, the high incarceration rates of particularly young African-American males who were in their teens and early 20s. And the fact that you just mentioned that oftentimes they do not get good legal representation because they can't afford it. So you are at the mercy of a legal, somebody that's assigned to you by the courts. And basically, here in Greenville, we only had a couple that would actually take on those cases signed by the courts. And the one that was really good, he died a few years back, but he was really good, and he really had the best interest of people, vulnerable people who could not afford legal representation, but he really did his best to represent every time he went to that courtroom on their behalf or when he was assigned to the case. But basically, in the prisons now, we have people who are there because of not being guilty of the crime that they were convicted. And that's sad, but there's a lot of hope going around the country with groups coming together who are fighting these cases. And I forgot the young man who's down, I think, somewhere in your area, Doc, who is taking on quite a few of those cases and trying to make sure these people are exonerated. And we know about the Central Park Five, you know, who finally got exonerated because people actually looked into this justice that was done to them and really looked into their case to get them freed, even though we had a president who really wanted them to be executed and still believes that they were guilty of the crime. Mm-hmm. So this is what, you know, we're up against as a culture. Now, for those of you who have not tuned into this show before, man, this might be your first time. We keep it real here. We're plain talking, plain speaking, and we don't miss words. We call it like it is. And like Doc said, you know, it's up to us. We don't rely on people coming to save us. This virus has shown one thing. We have to mobilize and come together in unity for the sake of our culture and go after block by block, person by person. Stop waiting for the government to tell you, you know, that there's a plague out there. Y'all call it a virus. I call it a plague because that's exactly what it is. There's not a vaccine for it. And we have to understand that. We have to follow the guidelines of the CDC and medical personnel. The president is not a doctor. He does not have a medical degree. I don't even know what other kind of degree he has, but anyway, he's not a medical doctor. He does not have MD after his name. So prisoners, going back to your original question, I had to get off address there for just a minute, are in prison, and they need help from this plague, the virus, and they're not getting it. You're in close quarters. And so we have to understand that we have to really fight for everybody in this country to be safe. Even though you may have committed a crime, you're still a human being, and you still deserve justice, even when it comes to your health. I served on this committee, this group here, and the chief of police was part of the group, and we often talked about the disparity that's in our communities with people that may not have committed a crime, may have been with someone that did commit a crime, and trying to get justice for folks and disparity in the sentencing system, where someone may commit the same crime depending on who it is and the color of their complexion. They may get more time than someone who didn't, if that's making sense. So it's all these things that we have to deal with. There is a lot on our plate as black people in this country, black and brown people, poor, the poor. And the poor comes in all kinds of ethnicities, religions, and race. So when you're in that vulnerable population, you're at the mercy of those in the top 1%. This is what we're seeing now. The plague, this virus, and I'm still calling it a plague, has shown how divided, how our essential workers, people in the prisons, in the court systems, and going through the court systems now, have to fight so much. But this has taken the Band-Aid off the scab, off the wound. A lot of things are showing, and a lot of things we're going to be prepared to deal with and to fight. And we just have to understand that.
Awesome, awesome. And that's what we're talking about. And as we said, in regards to that specific topic, yeah, I can say his clothes are home to me because I know there's a situation I know that is personal to me and where an individual chose to be just to, and when I asked this person why they did it, they said, I accepted the plea because I want to just get it over with. And I wanted to explain, and I think that's what we're lacking in our neighborhood and our block by block. With our young people, with our with African American individuals, that you don't put your name, allow your name to be put on a piece of paper that says that you're going to have 5 years, and it says diversion. See, we got to understand when things are thrown. It instead of saying we're going to put you on a 5-year probation, everybody, oh, we understand it, but then call it a diversion. They hoping that you plead guilty so you don't have to go through the court process, but you're not understanding once you plead guilty, that adjudicates that case.
You're going to jail. You're going to prison. You're going to jail.
You're signing away. You're not on papers. You can't do anything. Do not get it confused, and I think we really need to talk to our young people in our communities and talk with them about if you get on papers, you can't do anything to violate that paper. Don't think that I'm just because I didn't do what put me on paper. Anything violating the law, you should be in the best status. That's why you had to check with a probation officer. You had to check with a person that's assigned that you're. If you had to go see a counselor, and we take these diversion programs to state out at that time, then go do something thinking we're going to get off, and we're going to not get off because we're in essence. When signed up for 5 years to stay out of it, but it's just a stay before you end up going. And we have to understand that we got to explain it to it. No, a lot of times we don't have the money to go through a full process of adjudicating a case. We don't have the money to do it. So we take plea bargains based on the information that's given to us. And sometimes it's always a scare tactic. It's easier not to process you through a full court case and go to court every day and let you sign off on papers, and we send you straight to prison and incarcerate you. It's easy to send you. That's saving the state money. It's saving you money. But we got to be a little bit smarter as well. I know we're dealing with coronavirus. It's taking lives every day by the hundreds, in some cases the thousands. But we're also shooting and killing each other in the streets, whether it's one or two, because this weekend the area that I know, I'm looking at the news, they found a young lady, 21 years old, shot right at an intersection. And also,
well, we had
companion.
A man that was in the county next door, Spartanburg, where BMW is located, between Spartanburg and Greenville. And he went to visit someone on Saturday night and was shot dead Easter Sunday morning. On the porch of where he had just visited.
Mm-hmm,
that kind of stuff doesn't make any sense. There's some things that, you know, let's just be straight up. Some things we're going to have to, you know, not do. You know,
exactly.
If you're involved in a crime or you've been arrested for, you know, for whatever, you know, hopefully, you know, it's something that, you know, if you're guilty and you have to do, you commit the crime and do the time, that's one thing. But sometimes, mm-hmm. you know, you need to have your behind at home, you know, at a certain time. Because, you know, in certain some neighborhoods, you know what's out there. Sometimes you just need to, you know, don't need to be in that particular club. There are other clubs around that you don't have to worry about going to and know you're going to be shot or something's going to break out. You know, when, you know, you kind of like know these things. You know where you are. You know what, you know, and you know the folks where you are and what they're all about or what they're not all about. You know, that's the common sense that we're going to have to start using. And then if you do find yourself in that particular situation, you know, whether you have the money or not, you're going to have to demand, I want good representation or great justice. And we have so many. I'm so proud of the young lawyers that are coming out of school now because they are socially, they're social activists too. And many of them are taking on the projects of defending people who find themselves in trouble. And again, there are a lot of folks who have found themselves in trouble because they were with the wrong people at the wrong time, didn't come do anything, but just happened to be there. Well, in most of these states, you have to know that if you are there when a crime is being committed, whether you pull the trigger or whatever or not, you're just as guilty as the person who did. That's the law here in South Carolina. A lot of folks don't deserve to be there, but they were with the wrong people at the wrong time. And this thing about, you know, I'm from a single household. I didn't have this growing up. My mama and daddy didn't do this or this, that, and the other. We got to stop using those excuses. You know how many millions of people have grown up in the United States of America and all across this world who were from single-parent homes and who didn't have a lot of money, but yet still they found a way to make sure that their kids made it. And if they didn't make sure the child themselves, himself or herself, got around the right folks who could give them the encouragement that they need to go on. Stop using it as an excuse. Everybody's got a story, people. Everybody's got a story. Your story may be different from my story. Yeah. My story might be different from your story, the way, we all came up and grew up or whatever. But inside of you, God has planted something inside of all of us to want to do better and do what we're supposed to do. So stop using it as an excuse. Mm-hmm. You know, I get so sick and tired of hearing on TV, you know, about, well, they were in a single home. Pooh turkey. Mm-hmm. You're not the only one that's grown up in a single home.
Exactly.
You're not the only one that grew up in abject poverty, which is some of the worst poverty there is. A lot of folks who are doing great came out of those situations. If they could do it, you can do it too.
Right. And that's what we're talking about right there. We can't continue to use excuses. Again, we go back to when we first started with this show, taking it block by block. But you got in that block is your home. And we have to take control of our homes now. I know some people are going to be on there, but what about my circumstances? You know, I understand we all have difficult circumstances and we have challenges, but we all have some form of challenge. No one challenge is the same, but let's not make the excuse, use it as that excuse so you can't be successful. When you're caught up in a situation, since we're talking about incarceration versus, you know, being able to fight this and not go, but if you made that decision to be alone with that individual and that individual commits a crime with a gun, and you will do some time. I'm just telling you, that's the way. When Scarlett mentioned about the Justice Initiative, that's what's going on. Started, you know, young man down here in Montgomery, Alabama, and he's working on, and he has a center that's set up now, and he's a lawyer that worked on cases to get people off death row who was wrongly accused. There are several other individuals doing the same. So that's what we want to make sure you do. Our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And I'm going to kind of move our agenda because I want to make sure we kind of move forward. I want to, Scarlett, I want us to be able to talk about it as well as one of our picture people watching and listening, because we have all three things working here, to kind of give some thoughts about the court system being had limited contact in all of these cases that they must adjudicate, and they are moving to video calls and conference call. Tell me what you think about that. We already know that a lot of time we go there face-to-face or never get there, and sometimes it's an unfair advantage we have. It's a disadvantage, not an advantage. It's unfair for us to go into court even when we're in person. What do you think about doing video call with dealing with situations? And it might be a civil case. It might be a family case situation. Is this the best thing for us to do at this time? I know they say we need to do this so they can continue to work, but is it possible we kind of let's kind of back some of these things? Because this every situation in the court system is going to affect a person's life in some form or could affect them forever. I don't care if it's a child custody suit. I don't care if it's a something against a child. I don't care if it's a divorce. It affects some people. So is a conference call the best thing to do, or a video call the best thing to do when you're dealing with cases or any type of case with the court system to lead where it's going to be a big law, a backlog, a lot of cases if we ever go back to normalcy? What do you think about that, Scarlett?
First of all, no, not me. No, you have a right to go into that courtroom. You have a right to face your accusers. You have a right to be in there. You know, I'm sorry about what's going on now with this plague, but at the same time, and I'm not a lawyer, so I know the legal community can probably talk, but I'll be asking for a delay, you know, until things get back to a sense of normalcy, because I want to be, you know, I would prefer for me and my attorney, or me as the attorney and my client, to be sitting right there at that table facing that judge. Now, put a mask on, put some gloves on, or whatever you got to do, put a hazmat suit on, you know, whatever you have to do. But there are some things you just don't give your rights away. Folks need to realize that Mitch McConnell, who needs to be out of office, is loading these courts up with conservative judges. He went down to Kentucky last week before last, and had a hee-haw time with one he just appointed. As you know, he prevented President Obama from appointing a Supreme Court judge, Garland Merrick. I forgot which way his name goes. But anyway, and bragged about it, you know, that I'm going to show him that he's not going to appoint this judge before he goes out of office. He is hoping that RBG, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, he's hoping that she will either kick the bucket or retire, so he can go ahead and appoint one before this man goes out of office. So you just have to know what's going on in the judicial system, what's going on with this country, and this is why it's so important to vote. And I'm going to say this. If I have to walk on hot coals barefooted with gloves and a mask on in November, I am going to, God willing, if I'm still walking around here, I would do it. Somebody said they walk on broken glass. Well, I'll walk on hot coals to vote. Your vote determines a lot of things that happen at your local level, your state level, and, of course, your federal level, which is the national level. And a lot of these judges are in these places now from this administration who are ultra-conservative, and they can care less whether you do video, live chat, whatever case may be, you could care less. You know, because the courts are getting backlogged. Why are they getting backlogged? Mm-hmm. Look at some of the things that people are being picked up for.
Charged with, yes.
So, no, you ask for a delay, ask for whatever you have to do, but get good legal representation. But for me, as an attorney, if that was my client, no, we're not going this way. We're not going to start this.
Exactly.
Because it's expedient for them.
Exactly.
It's
that's what the thing
for
is.
Them. It's not expedient for
that's
you. It's expedient for them.
Exactly. It's to the point where they really don't have anything to do. So I'm gonna make sure I can get this backlog out of the way, or either get it. It's already backlog. We know that. Not because of coronavirus. A lot of times, some cases don't come up. They go to court for a year, 2 years. So you already have those individuals.
Coronavirus.
Yeah, you know, but you're going to use coronavirus and say we backlog. No, you've been already backlogged because you got some
already
situation don't come into place already. So now you're just – so if you can go through the process, let's get where some sense of normalcy. I just think, and I agree with Scarlett, 100%, you need to be sitting in there. I don't care what it is, civil case, I don't care if it's a family court, I don't care if it's a criminal case, I don't care if it's a – you're being sued for $1 million or sued for $5. You got to have a chance to look at the person that's accusing you of something and be able to say, I didn't do it. You have to be able, you can't, it's too much can happen with video. I know, because a lot of time we're broadcasting here, I get excited, the next thing, you know, it'll go out on Facebook. Next thing, it'll go out on Blog Talk Radio. And I'll say technical difficulties, but it'll happen.
Well, you also don't know somebody
is
editing the video, you know, just like people can substitute, you know, pictures and faces. You don't know what's being done with that video.
Exactly.
So, you know, you're going into the courtroom. If I'm representing you, we're going in the courtroom.
Well, ask for a motion.
Because there was a time when we as Black Americans were pulled out of the justice system and taken out and put on a tree and lynched. So there
yes,
was a time when you didn't even get to the courtroom.
Come on now. And we got to understand
now,
that.
You know, we're talking real talk tonight, and me picking up all them branches and stuff out of our yard. We got me fired up. But, fired up. We'll say fired up and ready to go. I'm telling you, I'll walk barefoot on hot coals in November. And I'll put my corona mask and my gloves on if I still have to do it. But I'm going to go punch
exactly.
that ballot.
Punch
get this junk
ballot.
Out.
Sure.
But no, there was a time when they pull you out, you wouldn't get from the jail to the courtroom. So don't start denying your rights to be in the courtroom. No, don't do that.
Don't do that. And the call in number is 347-857-4192. Give us a call, you know, press 1. I identify you with those last 4 digits. Then I actually give you name and location. Then come on off your comments, your question, and I'm as well as your expertise. All right, let's kind of move down, and we want to look at what's going on with the CARE Act, the assistance that's coming to U.S. citizens in regards to the coronavirus and the COVID-19. Is this enough to save the economy? And I don't want you to share your thoughts. You can do it on Facebook by typing in what you think about it, and we're going to talk about it as well. And, you know, this is our thoughts. This is our belief. But it's not going to be able to put any major dent when you're talking about taking a possibly $6 trillion out to make sure you take care of the country in all forms and fashion. And you know something, that 1% gonna get a lot more than ones down. That's 89% down here gonna get any. However, is it gonna save the economy? What is it gonna do? Is it gonna cripple the economy for the next 10 years, or is it gonna be able to help the economy get back somewhere to sound footing? I just don't believe it will. This is my opinion. However, I know as a welfare nation, we have to take care of people in challenging times. I do know that. So some of the things that are going on is we have to understand have to happen, but to think it's going to be sound once we get back to normalcy, it will not be sound. You know, we got a lot of questions about this stimulus check that started Saturday. I know some people mentioned they got in their account pending. That means it's been sent there. It's pending, meaning to make sure it's coming. They just want to make sure the day or two, because it was on a weekend, that it's going to be clear. The thing is, you know, misconception or whatever it is, and I listen to a lot of people talk. You get a $1,200, but it's going to count against you in 2020. You have to pay that back in 2020. You know, any kind of income, you got to include the income tax. You got to remember now, any kind of income you get, you got to put in the income tax. It's going to push you in a higher bracket. So you might have to pay what you're going to have to. But then again, it's an opportunity. If it's going to stimulate and get you to pay, help pay your bills, every one of those things that occurred that was agreed by both houses to give to the citizens of the United States so we can be able to survive, whether it's stimulus check, whether it's through the small business loan, whatever it may be, because a lot of people, that's the first thing, a lot of banking sites now, financial sites, they'll talk about the stimulus money or talk about the loan for small business before they talk about whether you still got an account there or not. That's where it is now, because everybody out to get sure they're covered, making sure they cover the employees. You got the Family Sick Leave Act part of it. I mean, the Family Leave Act, and then you got the Sick Leave Act. You also got to help pay your salaries, help pay utility bills, help to do all that if you're a small business. Dolly, you can share your thoughts on that.
Well, first of all, we got to, you know, there are two economies. Which economy are we talking about? Are we talking about the economy for the top 1% in this country, like the current occupant of the Oval Office who considers himself in the top 1%? And most of those folks are cronies and allies of his in Congress and his friends around the country at these golf courses and stuff. The top 1%, that's that economy, because those are the people who are in the stock market and who are watching that very close, because you better believe when they had those wipeouts, when this thing first started and we were coming in with the lowest since 1987, they were losing a lot of money. You know, when you were making that kind of money, you started getting served those kind of losses. You've lost a lot. Your portfolio has been greatly reduced. So that's yep. one economy. The second economy is the one that most of all of us are in, the ones who are not in that top 1%. If you're not in that top 1%, and you come under top 1% in this country, that's the economy for the rest of us. Okay, so we're talking about two different economies. I belonged to an investors club years ago, but most of us are not investors. We don't invest in the stock market. If you got 401ks, your 401k was greatly reduced too when we started having all these losses. Bounced back a little bit last week, I believe, to come up some. But even your 401ks were hurt really bad. So that's where we are. Which economy are you talking about? So I'm going to talk about the economy that the majority of us are in. Okay? Mm-hmm. And basically, okay. Doctor's right. You know, this money that you're, this stimulus money, the American people, that's your money. Your money.
Yep.
From your consumer mm-hmm. goods and things that you buy, the things that you make these corporations and these companies rich. All these places where we frequent and give them our business. You are helping them to do that. What this economy has now shown are the essential workers, the people who actually work hard to keep this economy and keep this country open during this plague. It's like I said, it's the Band-Aid pulled off the scam. The transit workers, the grocery workers, the folks in the hospital who are doing the cleaning of the bedding and stuff and disinfecting the place. Our firefighters, our police officers, our first responders, nurses, our doctors, all these people, you know, this is what's keeping us going for right now. You know, so this is the economy. $1,200 is not going to even almost pay rent in some places in this country. It's just not. So don't get too excited about getting $1,200. Then everybody's not getting $1,200 because it's based on your income. It's based on what you had on your taxes, okay? So don't get too excited. And then there's some that's not getting it at all because they're either immigrants or they either didn't file an income tax return. I think they're trying to rectify that now for those that did not have enough income to even file an income tax return. They're trying to do another portal, and they're moving slow with this. But even though the Congress was putting oversight on how this $2 trillion was going to go out the door and how quickly it was going to go out. Well, this stuff is moving slow. So by the time you get this stimulus money, you know, it might be another couple of weeks, and some who can't be found, it may be a couple of months. So what happens? So I'm encouraging anybody that talks with me about it, I'm telling them to apply for every single thing out there. If you're unemployed, you've been furloughed or whatever the case may be, you try to apply for unemployment because you're going to get $600 on top of what you normally would get. And even some are trying to even undercut that. But you apply anyway. If you're a small business owner or in business for yourself, you apply for those small business loans. Yes, they've made it real complicated for you to do that, but you apply anyway. Sometimes you're just going to have to bite the bull by the horns and just go ahead and have the patience to sit down and go through it. If it's too difficult and you're having difficulty, you get someone with legal expertise or somebody who's in an accountant or whatever to help you with it. Give them a couple of dollars and go on. But you apply anyway. I'm encouraging my stylist to apply. She said, well, I don't know if I need to apply now. I said, yeah, you need to apply because right now you're not working. Apply for it. Anything that's closed and that you're not getting your money in, apply. And I'm encouraging those people who are immigrants, people who are, what do you call them, they're not illegal here in the country. I'm still saying you apply anyway.
Everybody apply.
You apply.
Everybody.
Because guess what?
Everybody.
The folks in the top 1%, they're applying. And they're still trying to $500 billion that's supposed to go to the small businesses, what's his name, Mnuchin or whatever his name is trying to outdo that to make sure that some of the occupant of the Oval Office gets some of that money, he and his cronies. That's the problem now. Everything is being top down instead of essential workers in the bottom up. It's all about the people. That's what the CARE Act and what Speaker Pelosi knows are trying to make sure that money comes to the people of America, not the top 1%. That was the reason for it. And they're going to come back with another package, and they're blocking that because he wants oversight over that money. He fired the inspector general who was going to oversee how that money was going out and how quickly it was going out. And then all of a sudden, he done fired that person Friday of last week. He want him looking at. He put his own attorney in there to oversee this money. It's time to get woke, people. If you're not, it's time to get what y'all say woke. I say stay awake.
Exactly.
But if you're not awake, you need to get woke.
Exactly. And our call-in number is 347-857-4192. And we are keeping in mind now that Porter is of existence. It's up. It went up Friday. So anybody that, whether you was employed or unemployed, you still can apply for it by going through that Porter. And it's there. Just go to IRS, the Department of Treasury, however you want to call it, and you go through the process and put your information. Because if you want to get a paper check, it's fine. It'll just take you to September before you get it. But if you're going to put a bank situation, the account number down there with a routing number, you receive them. As I said, as we was talking, coming on the show, some individuals already received. They're supposed to be advertising this situation, starting with the A through to D. I know somebody that's D have their check pending because it was sent on Saturday. So they're sending it out. And the thing about it, is regardless how much it is, it's your money, so why not apply? I heard people say, I'm worried about next year. I just want to be living and make it through this year. And if that opportunity to help me and anybody else I know around to help me, I'm going to take advantage of it. And that's the way I see it. Everybody can think what they want to think in regards to that. It's there. It's available. And a lot of times, and it's a lesson going to come out of this, and I want everybody to keep in mind, we have people in small business. We have to be righteous when we do small business now. You can't always just take money under the table and not pay your required taxes and not think that it won't catch up with you because this is a retired time. Every quarterly, every 6 months, 12 months a year, You have to do that. And I think that's one of the problems a lot of people running in these businesses, operating out of their house and all these places. Make sure you're operating a business, and even though you're closing this time, you got an opportunity to get unemployment, additional $600 add to what you would get. But we only can what we put in and what we're going to get out. You got to remember that. So make sure we're doing what we're supposed to do at all times to make sure it's right. And we all move forward. The money we know, 1%, going to always get it. But if they can drop a few crumbs down for those people that help survive, let's do for take advantage of it. Apply for everything you can get. Yes, it's a challenge for the small business loan, but it is something. You ain't going to just walk in and throw a little application. You're going to have to go through the process, but you're in a business anyway. If you're in a business anyway, you'll be able to do that anyway through whatever is required to do. If you want it to help your employees, that cause you got where it'll be, you don't have to pay anything back if you keep them employees on. It'll do the sick leave. You got to have be able to cover that. The family leave, which a lot of time they don't want to do on a job with a family leave when you care for somebody with coronavirus. These are opportunities. It's there. Read about it. Use it. Go to your bank. Talk to your bank. Go to an attorney. Talk to somebody that can help you, a financial person can help you, so you get an opportunity to keep your business afloat. So we want to make sure you take an opportunity. All right, Charlotte, Scarlett, we're going to move a little bit because we're down probably 9 minutes. And this is what I want to talk about. And there's several others I wanted to talk about, but we won't talk about everything. Student loan payment suspension. Student loan payment suspension. And I want everybody to understand, a lot of time a lot of listeners here had to take out a loan to go to college and get their degree. I'm just individuals in general, and you have to pay that back, especially if it went to the Department of Education. They're suspending it with 6 months, or it could be longer, with no interest. But you also have an opportunity, and some people say you couldn't do it, and I have an opportunity because I have loans as well. You know, but my girl's been in school. I was in school recently, so we're paying that money back. But it came back and allowed it to not to be forgiven. Not forgiven, that's a different thing. You got public service forgiveness. You got teachers forgiveness. And you have to do that every year. Now, that's one thing I want everybody to understand. If you do through the teachers forgiveness, you do it 1 year, you got to do it and make sure it's in line next year as well. They require, because they will come back and move you to another form of doing payback. You had to watch yourself on that because they will get you. Now, forbearance. Now, that's what I'm going to tell you myself personally, and it did. And I put the year one in, I'm going to be able to start paying it back. And they gave me that year. So you could just put check into your student loan payment. It is going to be, it's a lot going on. So you don't have to be fearful of it. You have to make sure you do what you're supposed to do in regards to it. Scarlett, you can share your thoughts on that, then we're going to move forward.
Well, I agree. I think it should be suspended. I think the interest rate should be changed to a much lower interest rate. I think that additional areas where someone can do public service, a public service job that would forgive the loan each year would be great. I also think that there's a proposal that Speaker Pelosi knows did put in this bill that was blocked by Mitch and the boys, was to even give an automatic reduction, take $10,000 off completely from the loan. So I agree with all of that. And I just think that Mr. Biden or be elected, you're going to see a lot of movement in that area because I think he's adopting some of Bernie's and Elizabeth Warren's ideas about this college debt. It's just too high. It shouldn't have to take a whole lifetime to pay off going to college. Lord, you'll be 80, 90 years old by the time you get through paying everything off.
You will be. I know. You will be. You will be. And I understand that, so we have to keep that in mind when we're dealing with that.
I think that if people get out there and vote responsibly and vote in your interest, because we're not going to tell you who to vote for, but vote your interest. I think that if your interest wins out, you're going to see a lot of movement with this with the student debt. It's just way too high. You know, it's way too high to come out of college now, and you're facing, you know, $200,000 worth, you know, $100,000 or whatever amount of debt. It's crazy.
It is. It is. There's one thing I also want to ask, when we're going to do block by block, keep it real, you have to, if you're a young parent, start planning for the future of your child, or do something, put some money away. You don't have to buy the $200 Jordan sometimes. I'm just keeping it real because I hear it a lot of time on these shows. You know, especially I'm going to say divorce court, Judge Toler always said, you know, I buy this, but, you know, what are you going to do? What's your plan for college? Do you have anything set up for college? No, I don't have anything. We have to do it too. That's block by block now. We have
to do
that ourselves to our own children and not have to rely on a student loan. In some cases, you got Pell Grant out there. You have those, you have to do the FAFSA so you can get some type of continued aid. But we have to start, when we're planning a family, plan to have money put aside in a college fund for your son or daughter. And you don't have to worry about that part. If you did, the parent plus would be minimum compared to you have to go through the whole process when you don't have anything planned. So block by block, it may hurt you to hear. You can't go out there and spend your money on all these things and don't have put $50 away or $100 away a month for your college fund for your child if you want them to go to college.
Amen.
Let's keep it real.
Amen.
And let's stop trying to say it's a student loan. A lot can happen with that. You can do that. They can forgive you and do all the things. But if you plan a family, plan a future. I'm going to leave that with you.
I like that. Plan a family, plan a future.
That's what I ask you to do, and you'll have a better opportunity. You won't have to worry about student loans. That's what life is all about. Scarlett, we're at the end of the show, and we had a lot we wanted to talk about, but you know what? Well, I think we got our point across. We've taken it block by block. We're going to keep it real.
We always do part two.
So we got some things on part two that we'll be still dealing with. Corona will be. And I personally feel like this ain't something we're going to go because one of the questions was about how society is going to be after it comes to supposed to be back to normalcy. But they said, how are we going to have a function? Somebody said today, and we won't talk much on it. He said, the only way we can feel comfortable, everybody in this country has to be tested. Everybody. And we can't test the people that we have here. So how are we going to test the millions and millions? South Florida got 10 million people down in South Florida. So I'm just saying,
it could be 90 degrees outside this summer, but I will have my mask and my gloves on. It's just
there
all
you
is
go.
To it.
So,
you know, because we're the worst country to be a country, the free, the most wealthiest country in the world, and we can't get tests for anyone that wants to take the test or needs the test. This doesn't make any kind of sense. And we're going to close out, but can I say this before we close out, or let this be part of my closing, and just say that we have got to stop listening to folks on social media, Facebook and all these places. Some of this stuff is not real. This rumor that went out and said that black folks could not get this virus, this plague, because it was told to me. And I asked the person, I said, where in the world did you hear that from? Well, this scientist was telling somebody this and had done a lot of research. That's a bunch of
We're a high risk.
You know, and that's going to affect everybody over 50, 60, 70, and on up in years old. That's a bunch of bull. Folks, this is a plague. It is called the novel coronavirus. Novel meaning new. Nobody has ever had this before. Nobody knows, including the scientists, how this thing is going to react and also mutate. There's going to be several waves to this thing. Stop listening to everything somebody tells you and you don't do your own research. Because exactly. That's why a lot, you know, really a lot of us are dying. We're at high numbers with the deaths now with this plague, because we listen to what somebody else said. And this thing about, you know, the Holy Spirit and all that stuff going to cover me. Well, yeah, he covers all of us. Yeah. And like I put on my page, I said, having the Holy Spirit did not suspend common sense. Brother Al Sharpton said that a few weeks ago. The Holy Spirit has not suspended your common sense. You got to use common sense and not believe everything somebody tells you. I'm just like a down. I don't believe everything some people tell me, because I'm going to go back and study up on it and research it. Doctors the same way. We don't take. We're just not. You're not going. You may fool us one time. Maybe twice, but a third time, ain't happening.
Yes, sir. And that's the name of the game. We let you know that. You can tell them, but that's what you need to do. Scarlett said it so well. We got to stop listening to all this stuff on faith. People have been posting this. You take vinegar and gargle with it every day, because it'll do something to keep you from coronavirus. Come on. Come on. Our scientists, our most refined minds in the world don't understand. I didn't say in the United States, in the world, because
the world.
Like I said, we started a particular place, and we won't say that's the reason why, but it was there. It may have been here all the time, because, you know, Scott, I'm going to share this, and we're going to have to get off this line before we shut it down. But if you look at a Lysol bottle, look at what it fights against.
Coronavirus.
And it ain't just put, they ain't just put it on there now. It's been on there all the time, but it was
always,
like,
right.
It's always been there. So it's been here. It's to where it has mutated to a point that we can't, there's no way to control it. And it's a plague. People will die. People is dying. Because if you don't have any understanding of it, you cannot beat it as its own game. Because it's in control of the world. It is not, we are not in control of it. And then we're by the grace of God, we're going to be able to hope we can get eventually to the normalcy, because everybody will not be tested. You think they're going to, before we get back to normalcy, we're going to have this thing back up running for long, and everybody's not going to be tested. And 6 months, it might come out again. A year from now, come out again. I'm not speaking that into existence. Don't come say, Doc, don't say that. But, you know, we got to be real. We got to use common sense, too, now. Got it. You
Amen.
Can close it out with your what you need to close. But I want to give a shout out to those people, those individual joiners.
Yeah, give
a
shout out
to
everybody with us tonight.
All right, we have author Phoenix Q Brown, Marquita Turner out of Detroit, Michigan, and she shouted out to you. Brandon Lee Johnson, thank you, Brandon. Dana Bowser, I mentioned she's a member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Shannon McKinney, thank you, Shannon. Nikki Nicole, thank you so much. Carol Davis, thank you as well. Rory Kitt Sr., member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We'll give him a shout out, Rory, as well as is Titus Angela Stewart, thank you. Wanda Warren Franklin, thank you. This is Muriel McCullough, thank you. We have Edna Richardson, a good friend of mine that worked with school. I was a career tech director in one county. She's career tech director down in another county. And we have very few blacks that have an opportunity to be in that position, state of Alabama. And we have Romisha Anderson joining us as well. But those individuals joining us so far, and thank you. Then we have Jennifer Edwards, who's joining us on Blog Talk Radio, and several others had numbers. And we thank you again. It's been exciting, but it's time to close it out. Scott, I'm going to give you this word, then I'm going to completely close it out.
Well, again, thank you all for joining us tonight. This is real talk. We don't sugarcoat it. We say it. We call it like we see it. It is our opinion, and some things we say, we hope that you'll take it to heart. But again, you have to use your own common sense. Please follow the CDC guidelines and your medical personnel. These are the experts who are trying to guide us all in the right place. And be safe and stay healthy.
Awesome, awesome. I'm going to tell you, that's what we have to do, because we're at the end of this show. And the thing about it, if we start taking care of each other, start telling each other that we love each other and we want you to be safe, so isolate yourself, quarantine yourself. If you come out, if it ain't essential, don't come out. Don't come so you can see who else is out. You've got to come out when it's essential. But we had an opportunity to gather as much as we can gather. We don't know how long it's going to be, but we have to slowly. But if you have to get some medicine, if you have to get the essential thing, come out. But just don't be riding up and down the street. A lot of people I've seen, because I went out to pick up some things, and it was people, no mask. They ain't worried about it. After they say get a scarf or a mask or something, put on your face. Let's think about family members. Let's think about everybody and think about our friends. And, you know, whatever it may be, let's keep it in mind, because God's going to bless each and every one. My hashtag is keep on grinding. It's been an awesome show tonight. Second hashtag is communicate for understanding. That's the number four. And last but not least, as we get an opportunity to just close this thing out, Scarlett, I want to thank you again for offering that energized and the energetic aspects of it. And I appreciate you every time you're coming on, my sister. And again, we're going to make it do what it do every time.
Make it do
again,
what it do.
Mm-hmm. Do what it do. And I tell everybody, you know, we're going to have to keep in mind God is in charge. And I'm going to get spiritual for a minute, because sometimes we forget that God is in charge, but God gives us that common sense, gives us that wisdom to be able to use to deal with whatever situation we dealing with, and we have to remember that. So keep that in mind, and I'm just going to say it like I always say it. I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. But I'm going to let some smile come upon you, and this is what it's all about, you know, smile. This is all right. It's clean, and it's nice. We don't own the right to it, so we're going to check this out and close this show out. So I love you, and ain't a thing you can do about it. Have an awesome time tomorrow.
We gonna start this thing up right. Duval in the money logging out. Come on, now come on. I'm living my best life. Ain't going back to fuck with you now. I'm living my best life.
To be smiling for.
Bam, bam, come on.
So what the f you be wildin' for?
Bam, bam,
come on. I get my grin on. I'm smiling, bitch, cause I always get my win on. I've been on so many different stages, graced the cover of 100 magazine pages, made people smile everywhere that I went. I even put it on the first black president. It's evident I'm hot as a crock pot with a big ass smile like Mr. Hotspot. You got a lot to be smiling for.
Bam, 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 come on.
So what the f*** you be wildin' for?
Bam, 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 come on.
If you're breathing, you achieving.
Bam, 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 come on.
We having fun this evening, believe it.
Bam, bam, bam.